Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. I am Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you are joining us today. God has a word for you. He's deposited in my spirit. And we're excited about the assignment that he's given us. Before we go any further, we need to go ahead and get our announcements out the way, and then we can get into this word. Prophet, if you would, go ahead and give us our announcement and lead us in our morning prayer. Prophetess Crystal.
Amen. Good morning, everybody. God bless you. And once again, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. The announcements for this morning are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. join Apostle McQueen for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. On Thursday at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear us live at www.ctkr.org. That's also our website. We pray that you would visit us there and even ask God about becoming a mission partner with this ministry. Get to know more about Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, as well as myself and Apostle McQueen. Just want to let you know also that as you check out our webpage, you can look through the different tabs. We also have a media page, People of God, and you can hear myself and Apostle McQueen ministering the Word of God. Amen. God gave us a powerful message. My husband preached a message known as What's in a Little Spit, and God gave me a message known as Don't Let Success Cause You to Forget God. It was powerful. The people of the Lord were blessed. Amen. So we ask that you would hit up our web media page and hear what thus saith the Lord. We also have a contact page. Amen. If you would like Apostle McQueen or myself to come and minister at your church or at one of your programs, please leave your name, a number, an email address, a contact number, as well as someone will reach out to you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen. Also want to let you know that Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny has a Facebook page. We want you to visit us on our Facebook pages, like us there. Leave a prayer request, a praise report, amen. Let us know what God is doing in your life. For those of you who have already connected with us in this ministry, God bless you. We thank you, Apostle and myself, for praying for you, blessing you, amen, believing God for you that you will fulfill the ordained mission in your life in the earth. Amen. Amen. and that you could find us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries or Women of Prophetic Destiny. Amen. Now, for the big news. I'm excited. October, coming October 18th and 19th.
Woo-hoo.
Amen. I will be hosting, amen, Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference in Cocoa, Florida at Greater St. Paul Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street. Amen. Want to see you there. Amen. We have powerful preaching. We have powerful teaching. Amen. Men and women of God are coming from all over the world, all over the state. Amen. And probably even the world. Amen. We've got some big things that are getting ready to happen and come up, and we'll give you more of that information as we get closer to the date. I am excited. Yours truly will be ministering the word of God as well. That's Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference. Amen. October 18th and 19th at Greater St. Paul Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street. This year's theme, don't abort your assignment. Amen? Don't abort your assignment. We've been getting buzzed. As soon as we have sent out the information, the men and women of God have been coming from all over the world, just supporting it. Amen? Giving us kind words. Amen? Praying for it. So I'm doing nothing less but expecting God to move powerfully. Amen. And if I want to see you there. Amen. Amen. And those are the announcements for this morning. Now let us pray as we get into the word of God. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you. I bless you. This is the day that you have made. Rejoicing and glad in it. Glad to be here, Lord. Thanking you for your protection, your kindness, your love, and your mercy. Father, right now, we, your people, come. We bow ourselves before you. We humble ourselves before you. Right at this moment, we want to hear what thus saith the Lord for our lives. God, we're excited about this word. We're getting ready to expect this word. We're expecting changes. We're expecting the change in the word, God. We're expecting our lives to shift into a new place. Amen. In you. Now, God, we ask that you would crown the pastor and the apostle said, with wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Let him speak with the tongue of the learned. Let him come forth with your wisdom, your knowledge, amen, and your understanding as we begin to walk out the precepts that you have ordained for your people. Now, God, we thank you. We praise you for all that you have done, what you're going to do, and where you're taking us to. We give your name glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you for that awesome prayer. I just want to just reiterate the Women of Prophetic Destiny Conference that's coming up in October. You really, if you have the opportunity to be there, you'll understand why we make such a big ado about this conference. I was going back through some of our records and advertisements and, you know, things getting ready for this, and saw 2003 we started Women of Prophetic Destiny. The church started in 2002. Amen. So almost from the very beginning, we've been doing Women of Prophetic Destiny. And God has blessed us to move all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? And, you know, there's been Women of Prophetic Destiny over in Uganda,
mm-hmm,
and over in Kenya. And we're just excited that God, you know, is using us and what he's given us for ministry to bless so many. Don't let the title Women of Prophetic Destiny fool you. Amen. It's not just women. It's also men.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up with our spiritual mother, Mother Stella Boyd, who's gone on to be with the Lord. Mother Boyd had Daughters of Zion and Sons of Thunder. And when she had a Daughters of Zion meeting, everybody, male, female, young and old, mm-hmm, was at those meetings. And the power of God manifested in such a high level. You know, we saw miracles, signs, and wonders. There was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we still to this day are benefiting from those services. Something happens when you learn how to get into His presence and just worship Him. And when the power of God comes in, the Shekinah glory comes in, there's another level, amen, in the building. But you take that with you. I remember many days. We lived in Ohio, and the service would be in Michigan, and after service, we would have to drive back home. And some of those drives, you know, still speaking in tongues, and, you know, you could hardly say hallelujah without, you know, feeling like you need to pull over and just, you're still under. Amen. You're still in it. Amen. So when we do Women of Prophetic Destiny, I don't want you thinking about it being a service or anything like that. This is a time for us, the children of God, to come together. And when we come together and we begin to worship and praise God, my. Amen. What a time. So we're looking for you there. You'll be hearing more about it. If you go to our website, www.ctkr.org, there you'll see a tab that says WOPD, which is for Woman of Prophetic Destiny. You'll see the flyer there. And we're updating the other websites, web pages now. But there you can get in contact with Prophetess Crystal, and she can get you some information about it. If you're coming from afar and you need hotel information, let us know. That way we can get you to the proper hotel. You know, when we travel, we know that there's some hotels that have the right name, but they don't have the right location. And a hotel just got the name, but not the service. Mm-hmm. Amen. So when you contact us, we'll make sure that you're directed to the right place. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. All right. With that all said, let's get into this word. Romans, the 12th chapter. And I'm just going to pick up where we were. God is saying some things to us as a body now. And I believe that we want to believe that we actually have heard Him. But I don't believe that we're really listening like we should. I was sharing with a young man yesterday. We were doing the band rehearsal and everything, trying to make sure that everything is right for the conference. And I was sharing with him, I said, listen, several different conferences that we do as a ministry, addressing different areas and demographics within the body of Christ. I said, the thing that we have to understand is that God called us to this, but also God called those who He predestined to this. And what I mean by that is that He gave you a calling after He made a choice. It is your job then to choose to be His choice. And that's where we run into problems. So people are operating now in ministry, and hear me out, because this is going to hit some people. People are operating now under mercy instead of operating under grace. What do you mean, Apostle? I mean that when God places His anointing on your life, calls you, anoints you, then He places a grace upon you. Amen. To be able to carry out the assignment that He's given you. What happens when you fail to step up to the calling? Can you still do some of the things that you were doing? Yes. As a musician, I started playing at 4. The age of four, I was playing in church at the age of 8, 9 years old. I was traveling with my family in ministry around the country and playing. So I've played for pretty much all my life. And that means that I know how to play. But playing under the anointing is something totally different. Because when you play under the anointing, then there is a shift in the atmosphere as you begin to minister before the Lord. The gift that he's giving you, the talent, the ability that he's giving you, as you begin to minister with that, whether it's in song, whether it's in dance, whether it's in your musical ability, you see that God begins to anoint you for that. David played skillfully with his hand before the Lord when he was out worshiping in the wilderness with the sheep. When he came into Saul's house and Saul was tormented, the same thing that he was doing back in the wilderness is what he did in the camp. And when he began to play skillfully with his hand, the Bible testifies that the evil spirits that were tormenting Saul departed from him. In other words, he had the ability through the anointing, the gift that God gave him, and anointing on his life to do spiritual warfare. You see that? So it's not just the gift, it's the anointing. And what happens now is that we have people who said, I answered the call, but they won't go through the process. And because they won't go through the process, they're walking in disobedience. Hello? And as they're walking in disobedience, they're still shaking themselves like Samson, because they can still feel a move, but they can't attach or connect to the movement. Because what would qualify you to be connected, you're in disobedience to, so there is a disconnect. Huh? And as there is a disconnect, there can't be a full flow of the anointing on your life. So instead of the grace of God covering you and allowing you to do it, you operate in mercy. You see? See, grace is that unmerited favor. It is what God places upon you to accomplish the task. And it is what rewards you for your obedience. You see that? Favor upon your life is a blessing. Amen? But when you are operating outside of that, or you won't come up to it, or you won't fully commit to it, then you end up operating in mercy. The mercy of the Lord, his hand is upon your life. Now, the mercy of God is different, because mercy says that you should have been cut off and destroyed and thrown away, but yet you were given another chance. That's what mercy is. You see, mercy is not the rewarding of obedience. It is the sting of the penalty for disobedience. You see? So even though you're still walking, you're still singing, you're still playing, you're still quoting scriptures, you're still running around, you still got your shout and everything else, unless you are doing what God called you to do, and fully so, you're still walking in disobedience. So the grace of God can't be upon you. The mercy of God is what's protecting you. You see that? And the young man was like, wow, I never saw it like that. I never thought about it like that. I said, that's what he just gave me as I was speaking to you. But this is something that needs to be shared with the body. Because we think that God is winking at us. Mm-hmm. Huh? We think that God is not, he's not taking us to task, but allowing us, you know, some time where, you know, he long suffering. My brother and sister, long has an end. You'll hear me say this over and over again. Long has an end. And the problem with long suffering is that as long as you procrastinate, you delay your blessing. So that means that where God would have blessed you a long time ago, everything you're striving, trying to get, obtain, and have, God would have already given it to you so you would have attained it, but he will also give you the resource and the grace upon your life to maintain it, which means that the blessings of the Lord make us rich and he asks no sorrow with it because we are walking in obedience, not after our own will, not after our own desire, but after his. Let's read this scripture here because this is a good segue into this. Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Notice the word sacrifice here is something that is totally submitted. You didn't bring just the head. You didn't bring just the entrails and the fat. You didn't just bring the right thigh and all. You didn't bring the pieces. You brought the body. And that body walked up to the altar, you see, and the priest laid his hands upon it, and there he began to make the incision, and they captured the blood, and then he began to take out the entrails and those parts. And that belong to God, the fat and these parts belong to me, and he began to put it on the altar. You understand? So as it was sacrificed, it was totally given. You see that? What we're doing is we're taking the scripture. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a sacrifice. Okay, a living sacrifice. Okay, but Lord, I'm going to give you my arm. But as long as, you know, you can have all my arm, do with it what you want. But don't touch the rest of me. And he said, if I can't have all of you, I don't want none of you. See, it's this blemished, diminished capacity worship and service that we have to deal with today. That's why we have the problems that we're having in Christendom now, because people aren't solely committed to their assignment and they're not solely committed to their God. Amen. So as they're walking around, they're trying to find how they can still be alive and yet sacrifice themselves. And he said, listen, the first thing that will happen with you when you fully sacrifice yourself is that you cease to be. Huh? And when you cease to be, then when people look at you, they don't see your flaws and your shortcomings. They see the grace of God upon your life. Because even though that flaw, that shortcoming, should have caused you to operate in a diminished capacity, they see you excelling. And when they look at you and say, well, how are you doing this? And you say, baby, it's by the grace of God. That gives the Father glory. It brings glory to the Father, and he begins to give you more grace. Notice I didn't say more mercy. I said more grace. You see that? I wish I had time to really preach the difference between grace and mercy and show you an application why it's important for you to be under grace instead of mercy. Huh? Grace allows you to operate at your capacity plus, and the reward for your obedience under grace is greater than what you would get as your reward, huh? If mercy wasn't there. You see? So when mercy isn't there, swift judgment comes. You understand? And God is trying to get us to understand that at this point in time that he wants to reward and bless us. Amen? So what God is asking us for is not hard. But you still have to dedicate your life, dedicate your time, dedicate your energy, give yourself wholly to him. Amen? So I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So now we have some things that we need to be doing. And I believe that last broadcast that I had done, we began to talk about these things that war within us and what causes us to have a problem. A lot of this comes down to what we personally desire, how we desire it, when he says, do not be conformed to this world, I said, I told him, the young man, I said, I have a problem when we have young men and women who can be in church, run around the church, fall out on the floor, sing until the power of God come down. And let me tell you about that singing and playing until the power of God comes down. I was dealing with someone when I was younger, and I said, wait a minute, they live an openly sinful life, yet and still they were able to go to church and get people to praise God. So when they go to church and get people to praise God, the first thing that they would do, everyone would say, ooh, they are so anointed. Ooh, I got blessed. And I used to sit back and say, Lord, how can this person, you know, be so blessed and so anointed when obviously their lifestyle is not? And the Holy Spirit, I remember it clearly. He said, I'm not responding to them. I'm responding to the praises of my people. I said, well, how does that work? He said, no. I honor my word. He said, and I promise, you know, this is my word. I will uphold it. I promise this. He said, I will inhabit the praises of my people. So when my people praise me, then I respond to that. And when I respond to that, I come in and I begin to meet the needs of those people, my people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face. As they're crying out to me and seeking me, that I'm responding to them, because that's when I said, I'll move. I said, this has nothing to do with whether or not the person in front of them was saved or not, or walking properly, or walking in holiness or obedience. It has everything to do with the praises that are going forth. So I said, okay, I understand that. So that's why today when I see people who are living carnal Christian lives, that means you say Jesus until you don't have to, and then you say everything else. You live everything else until it's time for you to come back to church, and then he will shy right back on, okay, listen, you're not anointed, and no, God is not winking. If the people are responding to a call to worship, and you happen to make that call, it's not because of you that the people are getting blessed. It's because of their relationship with their God. You understand? As they worship, as they praise God, then he begins to respond to their worship, their praise. That's why they got blessed, not because you were anointed. You understand? So you have to still get your life together. God isn't winking at you. Huh? But while you're trying to conform to this world and make the world like you and be saved enough to be in church, but cool enough and worldly enough so you still fit in, guess what? You just set yourself. Amen? The Bible says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see that? Look what it says here in Matthew 13:22. Talking about the parable of the sower. One of the places where they sowed seeds was among shallow ground, received the word, but then when everything happened, they became disconnected and withered away. Look what it says here, 13:22. It says, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of, say it with me, everybody,
riches.
Say it with me, everybody.
Riches.
You see that? Deceitfulness of riches. You running after that. And the cares of the world, because riches is what you use to buy and satisfy those cares. You see that? Choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. So I want to be here, you know, because I love the Lord. There's a young man I could think of right now, him and his family. And he'll tell you it's just business. But see, the thing about just business is if you're not about kingdom business, then every other business has no importance. It doesn't matter. So while you're dealing with kingdom business, God causes your other businesses to flourish. Mm-hmm. But when you're seeking after money, then you're trying to find something that will produce for you. You see that? And then every once in a while, you come to church, you know, so you can tell the Lord, thank you. Well, I found that when this young man would come to church, he didn't come to church so that he could give God glory and praise. He came to church so that he could reconnect with business contacts. So when he come in there, he come in, and because he would give good tithes and stuff whenever he showed up or good offering, they used to let him sit up front where the elders used to sit. This man had no more Jesus in him than probably a bottle of lotion. Amen. But yet and still, his gift made room for him. So he's sitting up there, and in conversations with them, I could tell that he had no business sitting where the elders and the ministers were. But yet and still, that's where we found him. Seeking after money is a problem. Money comes to you when you seek after God. You see that? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things be added to you. What? He knows that your lights need to be on and that your bills need to be taken care of. You still have to pay for your rent or your mortgage or your lease. He knows all those things. And he provides them. Amen. But when you seek after the money instead of the one who gives it, you run into a problem. Amen. So the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. The cares of this world could be those relationships that you know you shouldn't be in, yet and still you find that you can't walk away or let it go. You see? So, you know, what's that song by the artist Usher, Caught Up?
Mm-hmm.
And some people get caught up. And when you get caught up, even though you're trying to let it go, it won't let you go. So in order for you to deal with it, you keep holding on to it and try to ride it out. But the longer that you're riding it out, the deeper in you get. You see that? So that's why loving this world and conforming to this world is a deadly thing for a Christian. You see that? Why he said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because what happens is you can't even think the thoughts of Christ. You don't have the mind of Christ, you know, because every time you get ready to think something of God, something of the world comes up and takes your thought away from God. You see that? You can't do it. You can't live that life two-sided. You got to live a whole life before God. Amen. So now, when we see this, and it says, do not be conformed to this world, back in Romans 12:1, 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world. That means modeled after the world, shaped after the thoughts, the principles of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means let the Holy Spirit change you from the outside, or from the inside out. There you go. Thank you. I'm pointing. Y'all can't see it on the radio, but y'all saw what I was doing. You change from the inside out. Amen. I remember coming up watching the old saints. The saints would tell us, y'all know, you got to be changed. But what they were saying basically is that you got to change your mind, change your lifestyle. You understand? And as you change, then God will change you. But they tried to do it the wrong way. So when they came in, they tried to get the girls to cover up, the men, you know, button up their shirts and everything else. You know, that's back when they used to have the large lapels and shirt down and the big chain and everything. I'm not telling my age. I'm just telling you what I've seen.
Real changes.
You know, seen on a movie somewhere. Maybe I might have seen it personally, too. Yes. But the thing is that they tried to change the outward appearance,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't work on the inside. Huh? So we have people who look right, but weren't right, because on the inside they didn't work on a change. Now, when the Holy Spirit gets in, the first thing he does is he comes in. Mm-hmm. Everybody say in.
In.
And then he gets rid of everything that's in that shouldn't be there. He throws it out. Mm-hmm. You see that? He is the strong man that comes in and binds up everything wrong in the house, and then he cleans house and throws everything out. That's why the Bible says when an evil spirit is cast out, it goes into dry, arid places, finding no rest, and being tormented, comes back to the original house where it was, finding it swept and cleaned. You see that? Mm-hmm. Now what happens is the Holy Spirit came in and cleaned up your life. If you don't transform your mind, then you'll open the door to your old friend when he shows back up. You see that? Because he doesn't have to trick you to get back in. He said, hey, I ain't seen you in a while. You know, I brought some friends with me. Let's come on in. Yeah, come on in. I ain't seen you in a while. Wait a minute, hold up. What just happened there? The Bible says that the end state is worse than the beginning state of that man. Mm-hmm. You see that? So now, where it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove. You see, what is that good, that acceptable, and that perfect will of God, is when the enemy shows back up with the same tricks, trying to do the same thing, and he brings his friends, seven greater than himself. You'll see him, and you'll begin to prove, why are you here? How did you come over in this side of town? Instead of, oh, I ain't seen you in a while, you'd be like, what are you doing here? And then you begin to deal with what is acceptable, what's not proper for you to come in. No, I got my house clean. I can't afford. See, there's a point when I got saved and I started going forward that I stopped making the mistakes that I kept making excuses for, because I had come so far from my starting point that I didn't want to go back to start. You understand? So I said, listen, I come too far to turn around. And some of you have that testimony today. You have gone through some things. You have experienced some things in your life. God has taken you through some tests, some trials. You have dealt with some issues. You have come through some battles. You have come over some mountains. You have gone through some valleys. You don't have time to go back to the very beginning when you first started your journey, because you come too far to go back. Amen. It is that fact that keeps you going forward and progressing in God. It's that, listen, I'm committed to this thing. I'm committed. You know, I don't care how juicy, wonderful, and well-made you could put all the spices and everything on it. That piece of meat is not what I'm going to be eating. Amen? That's not the meal that I'm going to partake of. Because if it's not what the master set before me, even though it looked good, it has something in it that's going to disagree with my system. Some of you have learned how to palate, some crazy stuff and still say that you can take the word of God. Something is the matter with that picture. When you can sit around sin and deal with sin and the very thought of sin and the presence of sin doesn't cause the spiritual hair on your neck to stand up. You got too close to the world and you look too much like them that you can't distinguish between what is good, what is acceptable, and what is the perfect will of God. So you accept anything that says Jesus. Brothers and sisters, the devil says Jesus. He believes. Demons believe. Amen. Mm-hmm. You see that? Well, they were saying Jesus. That's right. Demons can say Jesus. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you? It didn't stop their behavior, and it doesn't stop the outcome that they're going to have at the lake of fire. Mm-hmm. But if they can pull you along through deceitfulness and misconceptions, you'll be walking right there with them talking about, well, you know, I thought. How many people have been led to slaughter by a scapegoat? Yep. Y'all do know what a scapegoat is. A scapegoat leads the other sheep in, and at a certain point they're following, and there's a little gate that opens to let them out, and everything else that's behind it gets stuck on the way to slaughter. Here you are following the crowd. Well, it must be the right way. We're following the right one. And guess what? You didn't follow the right one because you didn't listen to the voice of the Lord. Here you are on the way to slaughter, and you didn't even have to be in the number. See, when you can't, when you don't transform your mind, you don't go through the process, you run into those problems. Well, why did you say grace? Well, let's keep on reading. Third verse. For I say, though the grace given to me, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Let's read just a little bit, because I think this is going to preach itself. Amen. Thank God for the word that will just preach itself. Amen. Huh? So let's see what the word says. For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ. In other words, you know, look at this, and individually members of one another. That means that we are one body. We are connected together as one. Amen. Connected as one. Amen. But we are many individual members. And as members, we are connected to each other. That's why as we do this conference, we're looking at doing a conference, but we're not part of we're bringing different denominations, different non-denominational backgrounds together. We're bringing together different ethnicities and everything else so that we can come in and do what God is calling us to do. As the body of Christ come together as one, individual members, but together as one. You see that? Then look what it says here in the sixth verse. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. You see that? So now, when I said you have to understand that there are people walking in disobedience, and even though they're shaking themselves and still showing up to do what they feel they're called to do, but they won't answer the call, so they can't be chosen to do. Amen? They operate under mercy instead of operating under grace. You understand? The grace extended that he's talking about, for I say, through the grace given to me, they can't say that. So they have to say, the mercy of the Lord allows me to. You see that? What is he talking about here then? Having gifts differing according to the grace given to them, huh? Let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of to our faith. In other words, he has the rest of this here, but let me just do the first one, and it'll follow suit as we go along. Amen? Where he says, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. What he's saying is that as you have allowed yourself to matriculate through your spiritual development, huh? As you allowed yourself to grow and mature, then your ability to prophesy becomes greater. As you submit yourself more to God, as you go through the process more with him, you have a greater ability, you see that? To see clear, to hear clear, huh? So when you speak, you can articulate more expressively the will of God. You see that? So if my faith is that I trust God for my development, then I'll allow him to do it. And when he chooses to speak a word, a prophecy through me, it'll be an accurate word. You see that? Because my faith is fully involved in him and my development. So when he uses me in the gifts that he gave me and the grace he placed upon my life, I'll be accurate. You see that? That's why we have people who can only prophesy tomorrow, but they can't prophesy the world and what's going on next year and what the Lord is saying for this coming century. You understand? Because they can't see that far because they haven't given that much of themselves up. Amen? So when we look at this, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. In other words, if you don't believe God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, then you'll keep speaking according to your mindset. And your prophecy will look just like that. You look at someone who has been on public assistance all their life and tell them, well, you know, God is going to give you a job one day. Because that's something you can probably believe. Okay? Well, a carnal person can believe that. If you're going to prophesy, prophesy to me what the Lord is saying in my future. Where do I end up? If I'm 20 years old and I'm on public assistance, where am I going to be when I turn 30? You see that? The Lord told me to tell you that as you go forward, he's about to place inside of you ideals and everything. And even though your education don't say it, God said he's going to make you someone who sows greatly into the kingdom of God. Not only through your finance, but also through the gift that he's placed inside of you. As you are developing, he's going to bless you greater. You understand? Now that right there speaks to your financial need, but it also speaks to your spiritual development. And when your faith is there, then you can believe that even though this person is newly saved, that God is going to take them through the process that is going to help them to develop. So according to my proportion, the proportion of my faith, I can prophesy, thus saith the Lord. You see that? Number 7, or ministry. Let us use it in our ministry. That means that if you can't put two scriptures together, but you're looking at the limelight and thinking that everybody who steps in front of the podium, behind the podium and picks up a microphone and says, praise the Lord, everybody, is somebody, that's what you're looking at. Then you don't understand that those of us who stand behind the sacred desk have to stay up at night crying out before God. God begins to show us the faults and the flaws of everyone else, including, first of all, ourselves. Mm-hmm. See, we haven't made it to perfection yet. We're still working out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling ourselves. You see that? So you can't look at it and think that while you're going through this, that the person that you're looking at up front has arrived. If you run into a preacher, a pastor, a man, woman of God who has arrived, leave. Because if you are already delusional, you have already messed yourself up. Third verse, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. So when you get into ministry, at the point that you're standing up before people, leading a congregation, giving leadership duties, you have come through some processing. Your faith has been developed. Your faith has been tried. Your faith has been found sure. You see that? That means that people are following you, and then you're in your flesh, and you're leading them wherever you want to go. Amen? It means that you're so locked into what God is saying that you're focused on him to the point that you want just what he's saying. We got to get back to that. The people try to minister well above their ability, and their faith doesn't measure up to that. Isn't it interesting that the Bible says in Mark, the 15th chapter or the 16th chapter, where it says, 17 first, these signs shall follow them that believe.
Yes, sir.
Notice the word believe is the same word that we use for faith. Mm-hmm. Have faith, believe in. Mm-hmm. See, you thought that I could just put these scriptures together because they fit in a dictionary, right? Then I can just preach that and go on, get an offering. Listen, there should be miracle signs and wonders following your ministry.
Yes, sir.
And it can't follow your ministry if you can't operate in obedience according to your faith. You see that? And this isn't the faith you have. This is the faith that he's given. as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. That's the grace that accompanies the grace that goes along with the assignment. He who teaches in teaching. You see? So, teach according to your proportion of your faith. Teach, minister according to the proportion to your faith. You see that? That means that when you're called upon to minister, don't try to minister and preach like somebody else. I'm so tired of seeing cookie cutter ministries. There's only one T.D. Jakes. There's only one Benny Hinn. There's only one Ivy Hillier, Creflo Dollar, and all the rest of them. You see, the problem with TV is that you watch all these ministries, and then you come in trying to be great like them and have all those people to serve and follow you and hang on your words. You start doing what they're doing. And you lose the originality of your assignment. Lord, help us. So you start sounding like them. You can't pray like you used to pray. You got to pray like they pray. You can't worship like you used to worship. You got to worship like they worship. See, when you first got saved, there was no problem laying in the floor and crying out to God. But as you began to grow up, and get around certain people, they didn't fall out on the floor and do all of that. So the first thing you did was you stopped falling out on the floor and started standing up, because you didn't want nobody to think that you had did it one way or did it the wrong way. So you started trying to identify with them. In other words, God called you to be an intercessor and to wail before him and cry out before him. And you started looking at others and left your assignment and started trying to be like them. Your faith wasn't there. What they went through to get to that worship that they do is their experience. What God was taking you through, the Holy Spirit was taking you through, was your experience for your worship. That's why everybody can say hallelujah, but everybody's hallelujah is not the same. You don't know what it took for me to get this hallelujah. You see? We got to get this together. Amen. Look at this. He who exhorts in exhortation. Amen. And the first thing that you have to understand about an exhorter is that you can't exhort in something that you don't believe in. Huh? You know, I shared this with my wife when we picked this up years ago from a friend of ours. It said, listen, I can't get more excited about your stuff than you are excited about your stuff. If there's a disconnect and a problem, if I'm more excited about you than you're excited about yourself. Same thing with exhortation. How can you exhort me to praise God and to worship him and to serve him and to cry out before him when you don't do it yourself? See, your faith allows you to go through the process to a point where it changes your very makeup. Your behavior pattern changes. You understand? God begins to show you how to work. Amen? And you begin to see it, and you begin to change your behavior for his behavior. Huh? Lord, help us. He who gives with liberality. Now, notice this, and I think this is the one part of Scripture where they grab hold of it and run with it. God loves a cheerful giver. Everything becomes about the offering and giving now. And, you know, I want y'all to give, and God's giving you grace upon your life to give. But the people that they're talking to aren't the people who are well off. These are the people who are trying to make it. Amen. And as they're giving their tithes and offering, they tell you, well, you ain't did enough. You ain't reached deep enough. The blessing is further in your pocket. Well, if I go any further in my pocket, I'll be scratching my knee because I got a hole in my pocket. See, you're looking at the ability to give and not the principle behind it. Amen. He who gives with liberality. That means if God gave you the ability to be a millionaire, don't come giving $20 and $50 and $100. Give $1,000.
you're a millionaire, it's not going to bother you. Amen? If you're really a millionaire. Now, if you're putting on airs, trying to get everybody to think that you've arrived, then you're going to be given hundreds, 50s, 25s, and 10s. You're going to say, well, yeah, well, you know, I gave $50. You know, I did good. I gave $50. Everybody else was giving 20, and I gave 50. You ain't did nothing if you're a millionaire.
Yeah.
If you're a millionaire. You see that? Mm-hmm. And that's how we look at things. Prophetess and I was down in Florida, we're in Florida, and we went to a program where we had to, we were the MCs helping the program along. And there was, someone said, there's a billionaire outside trying to get in for free. Hmm. And I said, you know what? If he was a millionaire outside trying to get in for free, I would have a problem with this whole thing. Because you could bankroll this whole concert if you wanted to. But you're trying to be seen. So they allowed him to come in, and he comes in and he sits in the middle of the audience.
Mm-hmm.
At a certain point, they call him up, and he gets up and tries to get the audience riled up. God is good. God is good. God is good. And then he sits down and everything. And I'm looking at it like, well, wow. Okay, well, listen, our next the next artist coming is, and, you know, we just go on and do what we're doing. We left before the end of the concert, but we got word back that millionaire, billionaire, whatever he was supposed to be, gave $100. $100. See, all of that you just did in order to get the mic in your hand, and then you gave $100, and the fact that the people were suspecting you to live up to the reputation of you being that millionaire, the whole thing was wrong.
Always.
You see that? We don't go after your money, amen? You sow liberally. But if you're going to sow and give, then the Bible says he who gives with liberality. You see that? Huh? Let's look at the next one. He who leads with diligence. All these people getting on my nerves. Hey, you're in leadership, suck it up, keep at it. Do what God called you to do. Huh? He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So I'm going to stop here because our time is already away. But I want to pick it up right here because I think when we look at this here in the 8th verse, then we begin to see some breakdowns. And this is the problem that we're seeing in our churches today. It's that people in leadership have not gone on with diligence. Can I use another word here? Integrity. Can I use another word? Character. Amen? And God is calling us back to a revival and a renewal. He's calling us to a reformation. We got to get it together. We're misrepresenting Christ in the earth. Amen. Come on, let's pray. Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this opportunity to minister your word. Lord, I ask right now that you would touch our hearts, touch our minds. Let this word go out and touch, Lord, and change the lives of those listeners who hear it, Lord. Let them apply to it the faith that they need to so that they can go forward and do what you called them to do. Now, Lord, I pray right now for those who are not saved, Lord, that they will simply pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you lead them to a Bible-teaching church, a Bible-believing church, so they may be matured and developed in the name of the Lord. I pray right now for miracles, signs, wonders, healing, deliverances to manifest throughout the body of Christ, those who listen, those who believe, in the name of Jesus, we pray, amen and amen. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll find out more about us. I pray that you become a vision partner with us. Don't forget, Woman of Prophetic Destiny Conference is coming at
October 18th and 19th.
That's it. We're looking forward to seeing you there. We'll be bringing you more information concerning it. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you it is God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. Come on, let's give God a praise.